service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and your life.
Bob and your life.
Yeah, turn up the volume, here's Bob and your life.
Bob and your life. Bob and your life.
Go, Bob.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyar, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Hey, the most interesting news stories of the past week, the most interesting, in Jerusalem, Israeli police stormed the Temple Mount. That's big news, isn't it? So we'll get to that story. And also, the second most interesting story of the last week, Israeli tanks and soldiers stormed Yasser Arafat's compound. That's interesting. And now we have the Arab summit. Islamic states are warning of all-out war in the Middle East. They're warning against all-out war, and I hope they're warning themselves because Israel would win. So I hope they're just warning themselves that the Palestinians better back down, because the further this goes toward war, the worse off for the Arab world. But before we do any of that, I've got a story here. Somebody mailed me, here it is. You know, we get zillions of emails and just a handful of actual articles cut out of newspapers. People don't do that anymore. But here's one right here from the Indianapolis Star. Let's see, what's the date on here? People always send me the masthead or the name of the newspaper and the date. So I get some weird-shaped articles cut out and mailed to me. But this was March 27th this year. Indiana University, there's a student there, Nick Simpson. And he's very excited because he's won a state title. That Friday, Nick Simpson, 22-year-old senior music major, was crowned Miss Gay Indiana 2002. How's that? See, we got to put off the important news to finish this stupid stuff first. So this 22-year-old guy is crowned Miss Gay Indiana 2002. When I read that, it reminded me of one of our local city council members. This show, the flagship station for Bob Enyart Live, is in Denver, KLTT Radio. And a Denver suburb, Arvada, has a council member, at least used to have till recently, Joanne Conti, who's really Joe Conti, who's a guy who had an operation because he said he's really a woman. He's really a woman, and he started dressing like a woman and had an operation, and he had his birth certificate reissued from, if I recall, the state of New York. He took it out of his purse and showed it to me. And he said, look at that, state of New York, birth certificate, sex, female. And I said, just another clerical error, Joe. So anyway, he and I were in a studio downtown Denver, an FM radio station, having a debate on the air for about an hour. And a couple from our church, I pastor Denver Bible Church, and one of our church members, a husband and wife, they were there with me in the studio, which was neat. Sometimes they have people sit in a green room or something like that. They were in the studio. And Joe Conti, in full regalia, has this big gulp-sized drink. And it's a few minutes before the show starts. It was a nice, large studio table we were sitting around. And Joe tips over, It's unclear. Well, it's clear. It's a he. But we can call it an it because, hey, in this world of gender uncertainty, who can be judged for being confused? So it tipped over its pop. Right, for those on the East Coast, it's soda. It tipped over its soda pop. And, of course, it spilled all over the table. So this joke, oh, by the way, to describe its looks to you, the only term that comes to mind is coyote ugly. Coyote ugly. You know what coyote ugly is? That if you woke up with it next to you, you would gnaw your arm off at the elbow just to get away if you had to. That's coyote ugly. So it spills its pop, and we're a few minutes from going on the air, and we have this virtual flood on the studio table. So, of course, it has to think fast, and it did. It picked up its oversized purse, put the purse up to the edge of the table, and scooped the pop into its purse. Now ask yourself, I don't care any clerical error, I don't care any operation, would any woman in the world scoop pop into her purse? No. My studio audience is agreeing no. No woman would do that. And so we said to it, you're a guy. A guy would scoop pop into a purse any day of the week. A woman never would. You can have your birth certificate forged. You can have some absurd operation, but you can't change the fact, Joe, that you're a guy. And good thing, because who would want such a coyote ugly thing to mar womanhood? Ugh, just so gross. Okay, so anyway, our phone number is 1-800-8-N-YARD, 1-800-836-9278. Now, I'd like to talk about these in Jerusalem. Israeli police stormed the Temple Mount. That happened this weekend. And they used stun grenades to disperse Muslim worshipers, who were throwing stones down on Jews who were praying at the Wailing Wall. How's that one? That's quite a worship service. So I like how that story starts, but it ends rather anticlimactically, right? In Jerusalem, Israeli police stormed the Temple Mount. Don't you wish? And it said, and they took the Temple Mount. And they blew up the mosque, you know, the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And they blew up the Dome of the Rock. And they took the Temple Mount. They took it back from the Muslims, back from the Palestinians. Ooh, that'd be sweet. It would be really difficult. We've already got the Arabs warning of all-out war, and that might trigger it. But some conflicts will not be resolved until there is a war and a clear winner and a clear loser. And, you know, the Arabs, the Muslims, they complain that Israel should go back to their 1967 borders. Well, the Arabs attacked Israel. There were three wars back when Israel was at those borders. They were at those borders. And still, the Arab nations got together and attacked in three wars. And so Israel won territory in the wars that it could use to defend itself. And that may need to happen again. And it may need to take the Temple Mount and a chunk of East Jerusalem. When we come back, I'll tell you what George W. Bush said about the terrorists there. Hey, you're listening to Bob Enyart Live, and this is a commercial break. So if you need time to run and get a drink, or this is the time to do it. There's another 1 minute and 50 seconds to go. I want to tell you about Denver Bible Church. If you live anywhere in the country other than the Denver area, you can visit us. You can visit us on the web at denverbiblechurch.org. You can see what we're about, and you can see some of the websites that we link to. For example, one of the sites our church links to is ArafatHarborsTerrorist.com. Yes, did you know there was such a site, ArafatHarborsTerrorist.com? It's our site. We created it. But that's the kind of church we are. Of course, we have Sunday school, and we teach people about God and the Bible. And then what we do is we apply that information that we've learned to fight the spiritual battle, not just in the arena of evolution creation or abortion, they're killing kids and protecting kids, or against homosexuality or against socialism and welfare that destroys incentive for millions of people and ruins their lives. Not just all that, but in the broad world that we live in, the world of ideas, the world of policy, foreign policy, monetary policy, what should Christians think about the major issues of our day? Many Christians have been intimidated from the pulpit into not talking about such issues. And so we've convinced ourselves that even though the Bible is filled with discussion on politics and government and wars, that, well, maybe we Christians don't need to deal with that. But why give up territory to the enemy? We are back, Bob Newhart Live, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So it seems like it needs to come to a war. It needs to go to war, and there needs to be a clear winner and a clear loser. What happened in World War II? There was a clear loser. Against the Taliban, a clear loser. It doesn't matter that the Taliban were willing to fight to the death. You just oblige them. You just kill them. It doesn't matter that Japan had kamikaze pilots, and unless we back down, they'll send more and more people to die to kill us. Well, send them. We'll oblige them. They want to die? Well, let them die. Arafat wants to die. Well, let him die. Help him. He's a terrorist. Omar, we'd kill him if we had him in our sights. Osama bin Laden, we'd kill him. Why isn't Yasser Arafat a valid terrorist leader and a target? Why not? George W. Bush said today, he was in New York, and the governor's, he was talking to the New York governor and the New York City's new mayor, and he said that suicide bombings in the name of religion is simple terror. I'm thrilled he said that. That's good. He's inching closer, but he stopped short of his own often repeated statement that those who harbor terrorists are terrorists. And I think he was afraid to say that because it's obvious Yasser Arafat harbors terrorists.com. But he then, I don't know exactly what he said because the Associated Press, who reported on his comments, they didn't give his quote, but they relayed what he said, not in quotes, and they say that he said that Arafat is accepted, that he's not a terrorist. But I want to hear it from Bush's own lips. I want to hear. So if anybody out there has the exact quote from George W. Bush today, please instant message me or email me at kgovlive@aol.com. Let's go to the phones in Bristol, Indiana. Sam, speak your mind.
Okay, this Bob?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I was wondering if, let's say, well, in our country right now, if it was supposedly the last free country in the world, and, well, you know how China, they force people to have abortions and stuff like that.
Yeah, they have forced abortion and
forced abortion
and infanticide and forced infanticide in China.
Yeah.
And we have a dear friend in Indianapolis, by the way, who was there and was being forced to have an abortion, and she escaped. And she ended up marrying a friend of mine when she got here to this country. But go ahead.
That's pretty amazing. But, you know, if basically the whole world ended up like that, where every country, you know, even America had a policy towards that.
Yeah.
Concerning abortion, or
you're saying
actually,
guess. Hey, Sam.
Yeah.
Let's get to the point. You're saying if every country in the world became extremely evil.
Yes, that is what I'm saying.
Well, then what? What's your
Christians be, would a civil war be justified?
No.
No?
No. think in the Bible how evil King Saul was.
Yes.
And yet David waited for the rightful transition of government. He protected his own life. He protected himself, but he would not kill the king and by force end the current government.
That is right.
Let's say you're in Nazi Germany.
Okay.
And obviously Hitler was a great target to kill. And you were a German. You had no authority to kill Adolf Hitler. You couldn't do that. That would be like someone in our country identifying a governing leader who was pro-abortion
right.
and trying to kill him. You don't have the authority to do that. However, if your evil country, like Germany, gets into a war with another country, then that other country does have the authority and the right to kill Adolf Hitler.
Right.
They have that right. And they would use any means at their disposal. Would you agree in World War II, or even right now in our war against terror, we would be happy to use any means we could to kill Osama bin Laden?
I'm not so sure with our current war against terror against Osama bin Laden, but I'm sure in World War II or World War I against Adolf Hitler.
You're saying we're a little more weak-kneed today than we were back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's true. But, so let's say with Hitler. So we want to kill Hitler. And if we can send in a special agent who would kill him, then that would be perfectly moral and valid and right.
Right.
Well, if someone in Germany wanted to switch allegiance so that they are now, even though they may not talk to the American military or the Allies, they switch allegiance. And under the authority of the Allied nations, they can kill Adolf Hitler.
Okay.
They kill him. And in so doing, they help bring the war to a quicker conclusion or maybe an immediate end.
Right.
That would be moral and just. That would be right for them to do that. So you don't have the authority to take the law into your own hands. But when war breaks out, some of the rules change.
Okay.
For example, if a country invaded your country and soldiers are coming at you and you're just a farmer, it's right and good to pick up your gun and to shoot them and kill them to defend your family.
Right.
That's perfectly just if your country is innocent. If it's not the aggressor country. So you can't just kill Adolf Hitler even if you're a German. You just can't do that. God does not give us the authority to usurp the ability to justly execute people. He doesn't give us that authority.
Okay.
So I think I think you raise an interesting question, and that, I believe, is the Bible answer.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, I was wondering, there's something I would like to discuss with someone maybe off the air, but it has to do with Denver and, the cost of living out there and what all kinds of jobs are.
Sam, are you thinking you're considering relocating?
Yes, I am.
Well, let me tell you, the cost of living here is higher than average in the country.
Okay.
And for years, we're at the very top of the economies in the states. Denver has been absolutely booming. Now, there's been nationwide, there's been a lull in the economy, but that apparently has turned around. So we have people at our church who just in the last month or so, I know a couple people who got really good jobs through friends at the church who work in businesses that are thriving.
Right.
So generally, if somebody wants to live somewhere and they're willing to work hard, generally they can do it. So, hey, Sam, you're cordially invited.
Okay, maybe I can talk to you via email about this.
Well,
perhaps.
Sure. Why don't you, we'll put you on hold. Talk
okay.
to our call screener and we'll give you a local business number.
Okay.
Or the church number. And call. We'd love to have you come out and visit.
Okay. Thank you.
God bless you, Sam.
You too.
Appreciate that. Yeah, Christians, you know, Christians who get frustrated, many times people get frustrated because whatever their issue is, it's not going where they want it to go. And so what they end up doing, is, some of those people, is they end up breaking the law. And a lot of it is a lack of patience, a lack of humility, a lack of godliness. Because God has not given individuals the right to usurp the authority of government. Government was God's idea. God established government. Three institutions he established: the family, the church, and the government. Three institutions. And he has a well-defined framework in which those three should operate. By the way, you can call us at 1-888-8-NYART. That's 1-888-836-9278. So the family should do certain things. The father of a family, he doesn't have the right to break into a neighbor's house and get some guy and flog him because he's committed a crime. He doesn't have the right to do that. But he does have the right to spank his own kids for disobeying. And the government doesn't have the right to raise children. They don't have that right from God. That's not part of their just function. The church doesn't have the right to try criminals and execute punishment. The church does not have that right. But they do have the right to preach the gospel and disciple believers and to inflict church discipline on members of the body that are immoral, living immorally. So God has given each a role, and if you confuse them, and if you say, well, members of the church or members of the family have the right to usurp the authority of the government because the government is evil. Well, guess what? Rome was evil when the Apostle Paul said to submit to the governing authorities. Rome was evil when he wrote that. However, that was not an absolute. The Bible is filled with examples of where people disobey the government and God honors them because they disobeyed the government. When the government tells you to do something that's wrong, then it's godly to disobey the government. Should we obey man rather than God? Well, ask Peter in the book of Acts. Let's go to Massachusetts. Danny, speak your mind.
Yes, good evening.
Thank you.
I have a question about, I'd like to actually ask a comment, your opinion on what do you think of the current events that have been happening out in the Middle East with the terrorist Arafat, and I noticed that Israel has shown tremendous restraint, but my comment or question is what do you think about the second coming of Christ when Israel may take over the Temple Mount and, you know, perhaps rebuild the temple like that says in the Testament?
All right. How much time do we have until the news break? A minute and 20 seconds. That's more than enough time to answer this, Danny. You know, throughout many centuries, whenever there have been significant developments in the world, even if you go back 1,000 years to when the Black Plague was killing hundreds of thousands of people in Europe, and Halley's Comet came by, they said, this is it. This is it, the second coming. This is the millennium, 1,000 years after Christ, and World War I, World War II, the Gulf War. Israel became a nation in 1948. Every major event, the League of Nations after World War I, and then the United Nations after World War II, every time there's a major event of... even events that are not all that big, Christians will interpret that as a fulfillment of prophecy. And the problem is that so far, that we've been wrong every single time, so far. If you can hold on, we'll finish up in a minute.
Can a Christian lie without sinning? If the Nazis were at your door, is it a sin to lie to them so they don't find the family of Jews living in your attic? Was it wrong for the Hebrew midwives to lie to save the Israelite babies in Exodus chapter 1? And if that was immoral, then why did God reward them? Are Christians today nicer than God? Would the average Christian condemn Jesus if he came back today and called people names like swine, Matthew 7, or a dog, Matthew 15, or a snake or a brood of vipers, Matthew 23? Today, that would be considered unchristlike by most Christians, but he said it. And in an effort to make you more Christ-like, we've put together a 6-tape audio album called Nicer Than God. It's available for $29.95. Get the information you won't receive in the average Nicer Than God church. The world we live in is an immoral, disgusting mess. The problems parents face in raising children today are enormous and growing. So to help you in your responsibility to raise godly young men and women, we at Bob Benyard Live are offering the Train Up a Child package. The first item is a 100-page book written by Michael and Debbie Pearl called To Train Up a Child. With over 300,000 copies in print, this is an invaluable resource for parents based on biblical truth, not psychobabble. And always easy to understand and clear-thinking, Pastor Bob Benyard rounds out this teaching tool. Included in the package are two sermons on child-rearing delivered by Pastor Benyard to his congregation in Denver, Colorado. Order the Train Up a Child package for $14.95 and get your child on the right path.
Hey, we've been telling you about our videos and our audio tapes, and this is Bob. It's a live commercial inside the show, which we're going to try to do more live commercials because they're fun. And besides, I'm an extrovert. And I hate to be cooped up in the studio during the commercial breaks with no one but these four walls to talk to. So the videos we've got, our best-selling videos are God and the Death Penalty and Mount Moriah and Get Out of the Matrix. And I know we've been telling you about this Get Out of the Matrix, but it is a trip. It might be, I think it's the most powerful material we have ever captured on video or audio, when I got to debate an entire philosophy class and their professor. And you just got to hear that video when I asked the question, is it absolutely wrong for a man to violently rape a woman? And I asked that of the professor, and the professor said, it depends. It depends. And you got to hear what comes next. So call us. We are back and the lines are full. So let's go back to Massachusetts. And Danny.
Yes.
So I've got more in my mind about this question, Danny, about fulfillment of prophecy. But could you respond to what I've said so far?
Yeah, you're right. It seems like all the Christians seem to, any kind of major tragedy in the world, they seem to equate it to the second coming. But
Let me tell you a little more about that, and then I'll give you more time.
Okay.
My grandfather died recently. He was in his late 80s, and he, all his life, for 25 years, we've been witnessing to him, trying to get him to become a Christian. Okay. And he remembered, he was born a Catholic, and when he was a young teenager, he would go to church with his Protestant friends. And so that was back in the teens.
Yes.
And maybe World War I was going on or just around then. And they would say that the prophecies are being fulfilled and that Jesus is coming back. And it would be the end of the world as they knew it. And my grandfather and his friends, they were worried, he'd tell me, because they wouldn't be able to get married and they wouldn't be able to do the things that young men dream of doing. And so then it turned out that a few years went by, 10 years, and Jesus didn't return. So then he's a young man, and he hears from Christians, World War II, and it's the persecution against the Jews, and Hitler is the Antichrist, and the Second Coming is right around the corner, and no end of the world. And this went on decade after decade, and we remember 1948, Israel becomes a nation. And it's going to be within a few years, and it didn't happen. and then it would be within a generation, which was 40 years in the Bible. And 1981 came, and it was supposed to be the rapture. In 88, the second coming, and it didn't happen. And so now we're in the year 2002. And every year, Christians point to news and say, look, that's a fulfillment of prophecy. And, you know, we're very forgiving of ourselves, but my grandfather wasn't very forgiving because he was saying, hey, these Christians don't know what they're talking about. They're fools. If the Bible says Jesus was coming back because these news events were happening, well, then the Bible's obviously wrong. And so he lived his whole life rejecting Christianity because of the false claims and the false interpretation of Christian leaders and authors and TV and radio hosts.
Right.
And so it wasn't until he was on his deathbed, and I was flying back, I believe, from Israel and got to stop in New Jersey for a couple days on my way back to Denver and spent those days in his hospital room. And finally, after 25 years of my mother, my brother, my sister and I, my aunt, witnessing to my grandfather, he finally got saved.
Wow. Amen.
And we're so thankful to the Lord that he got saved. And then within a couple weeks, maybe less than 2 weeks, he died.
Oh.
But he was so close to missing out on salvation. And it's partly because of Christians who really don't have a very good understanding of the Bible, but they want to claim that prophecies are being fulfilled and we're right on the verge. And how many national prophecy ministries are there that have been saying that for 35 years and leading people to believe that this is it? This is the last year. This is the last 7 years. This is the last decade.
That's right.
And if they live to be 120, they'll still be saying that when all their young audience members, they're all dead by now.
Right.
So I would be extremely hesitant, and we deal with all this in the manuscript I have called The Plot, The Overview of the Bible, which that manuscript is really the backbone of this ministry.
Okay.
And that's how we've been funded for many years, by people purchasing that. But any other comment?
Well, I just see that I don't know how long our Lord and Savior is going to put up with the mess that we have in the world with, you know, the killing of the innocent babies, the marriages of homosexuals and lesbians.
It's bad.
You know, the pornography, the smut that we have everywhere, the, you know, the turning of, you know, sons and daughters against parents, and, you know, the turning of people away from, you know, a good, solid Bible preaching. I just don't know how long the Lord's going to put up with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know if the events happening in the Middle East have any relation to what, you know, some of it says in the Bible or not. So
right. Let me go out on a limb here and risk the anger and wrath of some of our listeners and say no.
Okay.
No, they don't. Only in the most general sense, but not in the sense that we're seeing prophecy fulfilled before our very eyes,
right,
and Christ is just about to break through the clouds.
Right.
To that, I give a big no. Now, Jesus, the second return of the Lord has always been imminent in that it could happen at any time.
Mm-hmm.
At any time. And Peter says that we can hasten the coming of the Lord, obviously by living righteously.
Amen.
If we live righteously, we could hasten the coming of the Lord. But I think God has been pretty disgusted with the body of Christ throughout most of our existence. He's pretty frustrated with it from the get-go.
Yeah, I see a lot of programs on TV that, you know, just are inaccurate about Bible preaching. And I see, you know, some of the, you know, even the devil can make some miracles. And I see these miracle healers, and, you know, I just see it on TV, and I just don't think that's, you know, proper Bible teaching as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I want to thank you, Danny, for calling in and bringing up Israel, and surely this is an important question, and I know it's real easy for Christians to jump on and say, look, the 10 toes of Daniel, this is it. The European Common Market has 10 countries.
Yes.
And then there were 11.
Right.
And now I've lost track. What are there, 22? I don't know.
No.
But so, and it's been that way for a long time. So, hey, Danny, have you heard of that manuscript that I've just mentioned, the plot?
No, I haven't.
Okay, this show is new to you then.
Yeah, well, I've been listening to it on occasion.
Well, hey, thank you for calling in. And if you find what we're saying is sounds solid, then please consider getting that manuscript. And we've always said we have a money-back guarantee. If people don't love it, they get their money back.
Okay.
All right, Danny?
Well, I thank you very much, and keep up the good work, and God bless.
God bless you. I appreciate that call. What a neat guy. Let's go now. Is this Alabama? We're going to Alabama. Michael, speak your mind.
Good evening, Bob. How are you doing?
Hi, Mike. I'm doing well.
I just wanted to thank you for the way you've blessed our family on the air now that you've been back on not only just KGov radio, but also on RN Network.
Oh.
And we in this area are praying and looking for some local stations to carry you. It's not going as well or quickly as I'd like.
Hey, it's a lot of work to get a radio station to pick up a talk show. But, Michael, so what I understand, you listen to the show over the web at KGOV.com or at IRN, Information Radio Network.
Correct.
And so you're trying to contact some of your local radio stations and say, hey, why don't you pick up Bob and Yurt Live?
Right. And there's some of them that have some interest. The last time you were here for the seminar, I guess it was back last fall, the TV station, Bill and, can't think of his wife, they would very much like to have you, but the way their station's set up, they have to find the right slot to work you in.
All right.
They have to be tape delayed, but we're still working and praying on 2-3.
Well, Michael, let me tell you about a call I got today from New Orleans.
Wow.
A Christian down in New Orleans who's a supporter of Bob and Yurt Live contacted maybe the largest Christian radio station in Louisiana, KSHO. And that must be WSHO? I forget, tell you the truth. It's right at the Mississippi there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one or the other. And the owner of that radio station talked to this guy and said, you know, we've been thinking about Bob and Yurt Live for some time, and our plans right now in July are, if everything goes as we'd like, to put the show on in July.
Great.
And if that's true, that could become our biggest market. Right now, Denver is our biggest market, but we're on tape delay in Denver, 1 hour tape delay, and only the first half hour. So we're really excited. So thank you, Michael, for contacting your local. And let me encourage others in cities around the country, go ahead and contact your local radio stations and ask them to consider Bob and Yurt Live.
And part of the reason, Bob, I called tonight is in about 4 weeks, I guess the week of April 22nd, I'm a sound contractor, and I'm going to be in Denver for our annual trade show.
All right.
And my wife and I have been talking about what our company could donate to your ministry, and I know you're working on a new studio.
Yeah.
Could you use something like any kind of acoustical treatments for your walls? It sounds a little hollow sometimes.
Michael.
Pad you up with something.
Michael, you have a good ear. We do have a brand new studio, and we don't have unlimited funding, so we've just invested in new equipment, new electronics, and now that acoustical treatment for the walls you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
that stuff is expensive.
Oh, it's awful.
So we need maybe a couple hundred square feet, and it costs a fortune. Yeah, we could use some. Do you have any?
I've got some really good deals.
Hold on, we'll be right back. Hold on.
We all know Bob Enyart is America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. But even Bob is pro-choice sometimes. Not when it comes to which baby should live and which baby should die, but when it comes to three different products you can receive for $24.95 a month. The first product is the monthly Bible study. Bob has presented the Word of God to his Bible study group here in Denver for over 5 years. You can benefit from Bob's years of study and teaching by signing up today. Choice number two is Denver Bible Church's monthly sermons. Each month you'll receive 4 sermons Bob delivered at our church home here in Denver. These sermons are not even available on the web, so this is your only opportunity to hear them. And the final choice is the weekly Worldview. Doug McBurney, who sits in with Bob on Friday nights, goes solo once a week on his own show, The Weekly Worldview. We'll send you each one of Doug's shows with his irreverent and hilarious take on the news of the day. So whether you choose the monthly Bible study, the Sunday morning sermons, or the Weekly Worldview, it's only $24.95 a month. Please remember, it's your financial support that keeps this ministry going.
Do you need a quick update on Bob's political and biblical views, or do you just want to share Bob Benyard's teachings with others easily? Whatever you need, the article pack we offer here at KGOV.com is right for you. It deals with everyday issues like nicer than God Christians, miracles, judging, a Christian response to terrorist attacks, and more. So whether you want to spread the word or just get a simple and quick understanding of Bob's ministries, the $5 article pack is right for you.
We are back. Bob and Yurt Live. Hey, West Palm Beach. Is that where that is? Instant message here. Somebody going to a private school, and there's a teacher there, Judy Enyart. And I'm being asked, is Judy my daughter-in-law? Nathaniel, any of you guys married? No. Huh. I don't think so. I don't know who Judy Enyart is. And last I checked, there's about 800 families with the last name Enyart. It's a German-Dutch name in the whole country. Dutch-German name. I think it came from Endergarten, in the garden. And it's shortened to Enyart. All right, let's go back to Alabama. So, Michael, you were saying you had access to a good deal on foam?
Yes, Bob, and what I'd like to do is maybe ship it out to you, and then while I'm there for our annual convention, maybe stop by one day and help you get it installed properly.
I would be honored. And this is your business? You're in the audio business?
Yes, we mainly work with churches doing sound reinforcement systems and video projection systems.
Wow. Hey, I'm absolutely honored and thrilled. And people in the audience listening, Michael, they might think foam, just get one of those foam mattresses and staple it to the wall. But the audio treatment for studio walls, it's very sophisticated and it's very expensive too.
Well, plus that foam you buy at the Kmart or wherever in a year or two will turn into fuzz and disintegrate on you. And this foam is specially treated to last much longer too. So.
Right. And it really, you know, the professional studios that we've been in, and we're building this studio with the eye of it being just as good as any other studio.
Sure.
But it takes time and a lot of money. But the difference just with the audio, with the sound treatment on the walls is fabulous. So thank you. Hey, we will put you on our schedule. Let me put you on hold, all right?
Okay, thanks,
Bob. Is there anything else, Michael?
No, that's great.
All right, appreciate that. God bless you. Wow. What a neat guy. 1-800-8-ENYART or 1-888. You can go either way. 1-888-836-9278. Got an email here, an apology. Dear Bob, as a longtime fan of Bob Benyard Live, I regret to inform you that I, as well as many other normal listeners from Indiana, will not be listening to your show tonight. Instead, we will be watching the Indiana Hoosiers play the Maryland Terrapins for the national championship. Okay. I think we can handle that. And this guy says, go Hoosiers. He's going to fast for an hour before the game, and he'll remain in constant prayer. That's funny. He says, normally, the idea of praying over a basketball game would not fit into my theology. However, because Indiana is a more conservative state than Maryland and has a more conservative basketball team than Maryland, I think God might have an interest in this particular game. I will listen to the streaming audio of your show tomorrow. But as for tonight, go Hoosiers. Now, if Indiana loses, I don't think he's going to tune into the show. I think he'll be in deep depression. And once again, he'll have to rethink his theology. That's the neat thing. The neat thing with accurate theology is that it always works. Always. You never have a time when it doesn't work. If your understanding of God and your understanding of men, mankind, and your understanding of the body of Christ, if it's accurate, then everything that happens will be expected or consistent with your theology. You'll never have to be upset that, oh man, I believe in such and such. I believe in this promise, and here it is, and it didn't happen, and why not? Well, if God promised something, it will happen. So if you believe something and it doesn't happen, then you need to re-examine your beliefs, your belief system, and say, could it be, is it that God is unreliable, or is it that my theology is unreliable? And you figure out which, and then you make the corrections as required. And that's why we offer a money-back guarantee on the plot, the manuscript, the plot, the overview of the whole Bible. Because there's so many thousand details in the Bible. How could you get them all straight? You can't possibly get the details straight until you have an overview of the entire Bible. What's the big picture like? Then once you get the big picture, the details become so easy. It's really amazing how well that system works. You try to teach somebody any technical subject, starting with the details and skipping the overview, you'll drive them crazy. All right, since we're talking about Indiana, there is bad news in Indiana. Now, I don't know the outcome of the game yet. I don't know the outcome of the game, but the bad news is that they changed their death penalty law, and they lowered the threshold for juveniles to become murderers. What a sad thing. Let's go to Rochester, New York. Dr. Wolf, speak your mind.
Bob, I'm you know, very deep in theology, a pastor for 44 years.
Oh, my.
So I want to tell you that I am listening to the Indiana game with Maryland, not only because I'm in the East, but both my son and daughter and their family are in Indiana.
Oh.
But I want you to hear this.
Yeah.
But I'm also listening to Bob Inyard Live.
Now, doctor, is that emailer, is he right? Is God on Indiana's side in this game?
I don't know, but, you know, they tell me that Bobby Knight died and went to heaven, you know.
Oh.
And the Lord was showing him around heaven, and he finally got over a little place, and he's in his nice little palace. He had the University of Indiana flags everywhere, and he said, "This is your mansion." And Bobby Knight said, "Well, I'm thankful." But he said, "I want to show you around heaven a little bit more." He goes around the corner, and here's this big, palatial palace with all these Purdue flags on it.
Mm.
And he said, "Wow." He said, "That's really nice." He said, "Whose is that?" And God said, "That's mine."
Oh, you're funny, doctor.
I just wanted to know, Bob, we appreciate your program. I hope more people from the Northeast or upstate New York call you. You're doing a great job.
Well, God bless you. And, hey, thanks for sharing the time between the game and the show.
Yes. Yeah, I'm a dedicated Christian.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, doctor. Appreciate that. Will there be competition in heaven? Will there be competition in heaven? Will there be work in heaven? Will there be creativity in heaven? Will you have your five senses in heaven? Now, in our study in the book of Revelation, when we do Sunday night Bible studies, and we went through the book of Revelation in two albums. We have two audio albums. Revelation, Seven Churches, Seven Seals. That's album one, volume one. And volume two is Revelation, Seven Trumpets, Seven Bowls, not to mention the seven thunders. Well, in there we point out, as we go through the book of Revelation, we point out that the believers who are now in heaven, they get to use their five senses. We will, through eternity anyway, we will get to use our five senses. God created Adam and Eve in the garden, and do you think he did just a so-so job? He did, wasn't the best, but it was pretty good. I'd say he did his best when he created the Garden of Eden and this earth for them to live in the universe for them, and the form of their bodies and their five senses. God did his best. He gave us this awesome experience of life. And when we get to heaven, it's not going to be like living in a surreal, mystical place. It's going to be more familiar. Obviously, it will be different in the most wondrous of ways. But it will also be much more familiar than we tend to think. And there will be work in heaven. How do we know that? Well, we'll be more like God. And God works. And we're made in his image and his likeness. And God is a creative God. And people will be producing works of art and drama and books and plays and concerts. And no opera, I hope, but everything else. And no Spanish music. I like almost all music. I just don't like Spanish music for some reason. I don't know why. But no, that would be Spanish music. Well, who knows what we'll have. So, Indiana coach Mike Davis says God is on his side. That's an instant message here. So listening to the show will not affect the game. That's funny stuff here. All right. So Indiana has lowered the threshold for juvenile crime. They changed their law, and the ACLU is all excited about it. Now, you cannot put anyone to death for committing a murder in Indiana unless they're at least 18 years of age. It used to be you can execute a murderer age 16 and above. And one of their state representatives said, God forbid. And he said that, so he must not be afraid of liberals as much as others. He used a reference to deity. He said, God forbid if we now have some type of Columbine incident in Indiana. That's right. Oh, we got an instant message here. And no rap in heaven, please. Now I go with that, and I'm not going to renege on that one. I'm all for that. No rap in heaven. How about techno? I don't know about techno. Anything you could generate with a computer with no human intervention should not really qualify as music. If you don't need human intervention, I don't know that you should really call it music. But at any rate, now, and he's right. You know, Harrison Klebold and Columbine, they were ages 17 and 18. And we didn't get the chance to execute them because, well, they were cowards, right? And as cowards, they were afraid of getting caught. So they thought what they would do is commit the crime and get away with it. And instead, they ran right into the hands of the judge of all the earth. You think that was a shock to them? Oh, boy. And what about every suicide bomber in Israel thinking they're going to see Allah? And they blow themselves up. And the next minute, Allah? Is that you? Why do you look like that? What's the smell I smell? Why is it so hot in here? Allah, what's going on? Where am I? Where are you? You're in the holding pen for Judgment Day. And Yasser Arafat, I wonder how long before Yasser Arafat will end up in that holding pen in Hades, waiting for Judgment Day. And guess who's going to judge him? Well, the saints are the judge of all the earth, says Paul. This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. Right, right.